Perfect. Good morning. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read all of Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food, from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables and to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days, and at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. And as for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Amen. PSAM's sick. He was wiped out yesterday after preaching and texted me this morning telling me that I should do it. So here I am. But this is something that I preached with for the youth group yesterday. So hopefully it will bless you. So Daniel, just a little information about Daniel. If you guys know the history of Israel, Israel gets divided into two, right? The southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom has all bad kings. They get taken out, wiped out by Assyria. But the southern kingdom, there's actually maybe about 50% good kings, 50% bad kings. So they last a little longer. Assyria is no longer in power. Babylon is a superpower. And by the end of the time in southern kingdom, because they keep having bad kings, God wants to bring judgment upon them. So Babylon comes to take the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, into exile. And this is where all this is happening. And Daniel is one of the young people that get taken into exile to serve under the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. And according to study, Daniel, I mean, no one knows for sure, but he was a teenager, maybe from the age of 17 to 20. So this is what's happening. So he's a young boy, really, and his friends going into a foreign country. And you got to think, like, for them, being at home is really, it's not just being home. Like, I was 11 when I was taken out of my country, right, out of Korea to come to Hong Kong. But it's not the same thing, because for them, being at home meant they were in a faith-filled environment, right? They were in an environment where God was always talked about, where what PSAM was talking about yesterday, about Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Like, that thing was being taught all the time in their lives, and now they're being taken out of a faith community and placed into a secular environment. So, I mean, we can draw kind of comparison into our own lives, I think. Most of us are working in a secular environment. So, like, say you come to church, you're in your house church, you're in a Bible study, that's your faith community, where you're talking about God, you're talking about Jesus, you're loving God, worshiping Him. But once you step out of that and you go out into the real world, I mean, I was telling my kids, once you step out of church and go to school, you're kind of in the same boat as Daniel. Because in your school, it's not a Christian environment, it's a secular environment. Same thing for, I think, us, you know, the working people. I know that when you guys step into your office, step into your job, you're no longer, people are not, you know, necessarily fearing God, right? They're not God-fearing people. They're, after money, after success, other things. So you're put into the environment kind of like Daniel, kind of like his three friends. And we get to see some of the choices that Daniel and his three friends had to make. And that's kind of what I wanted to share with you. So the first thing I want to look at is verse 8, right? It says, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials. What's the big deal with this food that was offered to the kings? Most of us probably know. The choice food that the kings ate, or the king ate, were first sacrificed to the idols of Babylon, which is why Daniel decides in his heart, hey, I'm not going to defy myself. I'm not going to join in the sacrifice to the idols by eating the food. So he decides in his heart, he's not going to defile himself, and he actually gives up the food. Do you know how long Daniel and his three friends only ate vegetables and drank water? For 3 years, three whole years. We're fasting 21 days, 30 days, 40 days, and we think this is crazy. You know, why did I ever sign up for this? These guys had to do it for 3 whole years, but they did it willingly because they knew that this was something that God had convicted them to do in their heart. That's why I talk about conviction. So I think when we go to work, I think a lot of us, I mean, this same thing applies to school that I taught to the youth. Same thing applies in the workplace, because people always say, hey, what's the big deal? You know, just do it. Everybody else is doing it. This is how the industry works. This is how the real world, this is how things are done, you know? But we know sometimes the Holy Spirit will just come and convict our hearts and say, hey, this is not something that I want you to get involved in. This is not something that I want you to do. But we you know, voices, right? And other people are saying, what's wrong with you? You know, don't be so hyper spiritual, Jesus freak kind of thing, and just do it, because this is how you're going to get promoted. This is how you're going to get, how you're going to move up, you know, in your company or whatnot. I'm sure Daniel and his three friends had the same thing, because, I mean, all the other youth, they're eating and they're being obedient. You know, they're not being difficult in their workplace. They're kind of complying to the rules that were set by the king. And so the challenge is, you know, am I going to trust God? Am I going to trust the king? You know, PSAM talked about, yesterday he talked about the Lord being one and how he's Lord over everything. Not just Lord of our lives when we're at church, but when we go to our workplace, he's no longer our Lord, and we compartmentalize our faith. And we think, well, this is a workplace. Come on, Lord. You really don't know what's going on here. You don't really know how the industry works. You don't really know the choices I have to make every day to get promoted, to do well in my job or whatnot. And Daniel and these guys knew. You know, they were in a foreign country serving under a foreign king who was all-powerful, really, in that time. But they know that, you know what, even the food that I eat, this falls under the lordship of my Yahweh, right? This falls under the lordship of my God. So I'm not going to just do what's more beneficial for me, do what's easier for me. I'm going to lay it down, you know, under the lordship of God. So this is something that we will all have to make, I think. And some choices are black and white, right? Obviously, I don't like cheating or lying. I don't know what's black and white for you. But some things are black and white according to the Bible. But some things are gray. And in these gray things, I think we just need to hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, I think he'll say different things to different people and say, this is something I want you to, like, keep. You know, and that's called conviction. Right? Holy Spirit will come with his conviction. And you know what? Everybody else around you are saying, just do it or do this or do that. But you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so we need that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is for you, when you go into work, say, this is not something that I'm going to just let people control over my life because I have brought it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing, conviction. So what are some of your convictions? You know, do you have the resolution to obey, you know, even in the workplace where it's secular? The second thing I want to talk about is the names, the names that the king gives to these four young men. So what's in a name? In a name that there's identity, right? You know, if you ask somebody, hey, who are you? They usually say, I am so-and-so, I am Nate, I am Sam, I am whatever, right? That we give our name because that's our identity. And also it's dignity, right? Like if somebody remembers your name, you just feel good. That's why I, as a pastor, and when I was teaching at a school, I tried really hard, and I'm still trying really hard to remember people's names. When I meet somebody, I want to remember their name, and when I don't, I feel so bad, you know? And like if you have to ask them once, it's okay, but then you have to ask them again and again because, you know, you don't remember. Something you can do, actually, this is something I learned. When you learn somebody's name, you actually mentally picture them like doing something really silly in your head. Like, I usually picture them dancing around, jumping around, and I picture their face, and I picture their name coming up in my head all the time. And then I'll link their name to something. So, like, if I meet Michelle, I'll think of my friend Michelle, and I'll link the two, and I'll make them jump around together, dance in my head. It helps. Next time you see them, you remember what you did in your head. So that's something I do, to try to remember people's names. But, yeah, it's his name. If someone knows your name, there's a lot of dignity in that. There's a lot of just your identity is wrapped up in a name. But especially for these guys, being Jewish, you know, their names had meaning, right? Their names had meaning that talked about their God. And so you can see how the Babylonians, they want to take away their identity, their Jewish identity. They want to take away the meaning, the name that God had given to them. You know, they did the same thing in Korea when Japan invaded, right? They took away a Korean name, gave Japanese names, just to, you know, try and kill their national identity. So Daniel, what does Daniel mean? Daniel means God is my judge. Daniel means God is my judge. Can you imagine having a name like that? If you knew that God was your judge, you're not going to let anybody else tell you what to do. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is not my judge. My official is not my judge. You know, God is my judge. And you hold on to that. And let's see, Hananiah. Hananiah meant Jehovah is gracious, or the beloved of the Lord, you know? I mean, you need names like that to keep you going in a foreign country where they give you new names and tell you to do things that you know is not in God's heart. Let's see. Mishael. Mishael meant, who is like our God? Who is like our God? And Azariah. Azariah meant, Jehovah is my helper. God is my helper. You know, these guys had names that told them who God was that they could hold on to. And you know what the Babylonians did to try and change their names? They gave Daniel the name Belshazzar. Belshazzar means the prince of Bel. Bel is a heathen god, right? An idol that they worshipped. And to Shadrach, I mean to Hananiah, they gave the name Shadrach, which meant illumined by the sun god, right? So like, God's not your helper, sun god is your helper. Azariah gave the name Abednego, which meant servant of Nego, another like idol. And Meshach, whose name was Mishael, which meant who is like our God, they gave him the name Meshach, which meant who is like Venus. Right? So they're kind of twisting around their Hebrew name, the name that God had given to them, and they're making it their own. But It didn't work, right? It didn't work because even though they were given new names and in their country, in their job, in their workplace, sure, they submitted to the names that were given to them, but in their heart, you know what? They knew who they were. They knew that God was their judge. They knew that God was their helper. They knew that they were beloved of God and that no one was like their God, right? And so, same thing for us. Do you know the name that God has given to you? Sure, in your workplace, you get a title. You know, you're a VP or I don't know what the titles are. You're a lawyer, you're an analyst, whatever. You're a partner. But do you know what your name is that God has given to you? And every single one of us has a name that God, only God can give to you. And nothing can take that away from you. Hopefully, nothing will take that away from you once you hear that from God. And it's something personal. You know, for me, I'll just give you some examples. Like I say, for P. Sam, I haven't talked with him, but I think one of the names that he has, that God has given to him, is God's favorite. He's mentioned it a few times. He always says, I'm God's favorite, you know? And the truth is, we're all God's favorite. You know, I'm God's favorite, Tom's God's favorite, every single one of us is God's favorite. But P. Sam knows that because God has given that to him. You know, he knows in his heart that, man, I am God's favorite and nothing is going to get to me kind of thing, you know? And so for me personally, some of the names that God has given to me would be like, it doesn't even count as a name, but God is pleased with me. You know, I guess that could be a name. God is pleased with me is something that I can hold on to because that's been said over me many times and I hear that on my own, right? God is pleased with me. And you know what? That really helps. But it's linked to my own struggle, right? Because that's something that I struggle with. Am I pleasing to God? Am I good enough? Am I blah, blah, blah? I have all these struggles that I'm going through. And so God will come and give me a name that's going to speak to my heart, you know, and say, God, or Nate, I'm pleased with you, so that I can hold on to that name and not listen to what other people are saying, not be man-pleasing and all that stuff. Another name that I feel like God's given to me is Mighty Warrior, right? And that's something that I've been struggling with because I struggle with what being fearful, you know, being afraid, not being able to step out. And God says, no, Nate, you're a mighty warrior. And then he brings the prophetic word of other people to confirm that. And then that's just become something I hold on to so that when I'm fearful or when, you know, when I feel like I can't do it, I say, I'm a mighty warrior of God. I'm going to step out in faith and do it. So I think for us, you know, we need to hear the name that God has given to you personally. What's your struggle? You know, what is the thing that keeps making you compromise? You know, keeps you away from God or keeps you kind of bound or you know, chained to the enemy or the world or your struggles? You know, what is it? And give it to the Lord and say, God, give me a name. And usually it's not just a prophetic word. Hey, you can't just go to somebody else and say, what's God saying to me? And they say to you, that doesn't speak to your heart as much as you going to the Lord and struggling and wrestling with God, reading the word and saying, God, what are you saying to me? And when God gives you that conviction, you know, that assurance in your heart, that this is what I'm saying to you, then you can go to your workplace, know who you are, right? Instead of letting other people define you, you just know, no, God defines me as this. And so I'm not going to give in to what other people are saying or what other people are telling me to do. The last thing I want to talk about is just Daniel and his three friends. They had confidence. They had confidence to stand before even the king, right? They had confidence to stand in the... They didn't necessarily stand in the presence of the king, but it was the king's command for them to eat these foods and for them to comply by the rules, but they had confidence. And this is Spurgeon. Spurgeon, you know, gives these, actually, I might be wrong, but another preacher gives these 5 points that you need to have a resolution and confidence in the face of trial, in the face of difficulty. So the first thing, the heart must be set, right? Daniel purposed in his heart, made up his mind beforehand that he would not compromise. So for us, when we are, you know, because not every day are we faced with decisions that's like gray, you know, it's, am I going to obey God? Am I going to obey Satan? So we got to have a heart that is set, first of all. Number two, I think this is really good. The life must be winning, meaning the life must be attractive. Like your life as a Christian, if you're going to stand before your boss, let's say, you're going to stand before your boss and say, I'm going to not go by what the world is doing. I'm going to go by what the Bible says. I'm going to go by what God tells me to do. Your life better be attractive. I mean, if you're just unhappy, sad, depressed all the time, not living in joy, and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm going to obey God, they're going to say, well, you know, forget you, right? But if your life is one that's attractive, you know, you're just full of life, full of joy, and full of the confidence and the hope and the assurance of God, and then you stand before your boss and say, you know, I'm going to obey God. He knows that you're doing a great job. He knows that you're, you know, awesome at what you do. Then he'll respect you, and you have confidence to stand before the king. Protests must be courteous. They're very courteous. Daniel and his three friends don't rebel. They don't say, you know, we're not going to do it. You know, we don't believe you, king, whatever. They're very respectful. They say, would you please, you know, give us 10 days and test us. And they're very polite in what they're doing. Self-denial must be sought, meaning self-denial doesn't come easily, right? For them, giving up the three or the choice food of the king, so that's not easy. You know, for 3 whole years, they're not eating meat. They're not eating the nice food. They're eating, drinking water and vegetables and maybe some fruit. That's not easy. And for us, you know, that doesn't come easily. And so, you know, he talks about be ready. Be ready for a bad name. Be willing to be called a bigot. Be prepared for the loss of friendships. Be prepared for anything so long as you can stand fast by him who bought you with his precious blood. Right? So we got to be prepared for that. And I'll end with this. I just encourage you guys, and this is a challenge for me too, put your faith to the test. You know, I went to the CSW conference on the weekend, and to be honest, I was not planning on going. I probably would not have gone if I wasn't leading worship. And so that's, I mean, shame on me, right? And same thing, I paid for my Bill Johnson tickets way ahead of time, and this thing comes, I'm like, eh. And then they asked me to lead worship, so I'm like, okay, I'll go. But it really spoke to me. I thought it was so powerful. And next time, next year, they have it every year. Let's all go. It's so powerful. But one of the things I was watching, hearing the testimony of this Sri Lankan pastor, and it's a woman pastor. And a few years back, her and her husband, they were pastoring a church in this little village. Sri Lanka actually is extremely persecuted. It's a Buddhist nation, maybe like 1% Christian, and they're persecuted constantly. Mobs will come and just demolish their church and burn their church, kill them. So this mob came, and they actually shot her husband. She was holding her baby. They shot her too, but she didn't die. Her husband died immediately. The baby survived, but she showed us a scar of her arm. There's a huge hole in her arm, and there's a bullet lodged into her spine, and it took her like 2-3 years to recover. She couldn't walk in the beginning, and then she recovers. So she wakes up from a coma, finds out her husband's dead, and then takes a few years to recover so then she can walk and do stuff again. And what does she do? She goes back to that same village, to the church that her husband was pastoring. And now she's pastoring the same church. And then she shows some slideshows and she's sharing stories. Brings tears to your eyes. But also it really challenged me and said, is my faith even real? You know, these guys are faced. I mean, this lady is, every day, she's faced with life and death. And mobs can come any time and kill her. And she's still willing to stand there and pastor and give her life to the Lord. And, you know, and then we're worried about career, we're worried about promotion, we're worried about money and all these different things. And I'm saying, put your faith to the test. You know, like, do you really believe that God is going to take care of you? Do you really believe that God is your provider and your helper and your deliverer? And then, even if it doesn't come through for you, I mean, her husband died. But she still holds on to the faith that God is faithful because she's looking to the eternity, right? She knows that, hey, this life is not it. If I die, I get to be in heaven with the Lord. And so whatever happens, she can hold on to the faith. So, yeah, you know, yesterday we talked about God putting everything under the lordship of God. And, you know, let's do it. You know, let's have that faith to put Jesus first in everything that we do. Instead of just talking about it. Instead of just, you know, in our head, you know, yeah, we believe it. But, you know, let's put that to the test in our life. So, amen. Jisun is going to come and lead us in worship. Let's just close our eyes and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come, ask Him to come. I just want to pray, God, Holy Spirit, come and give us a name. You know, I pray that You'll speak to each of us. You know what our fears are. You know what our struggles are. You know what our weaknesses are. I pray that You will come and give us a name that's going to speak right to our heart, right to our soul. Right now, I pray that You will come and strengthen us, encourage us, God, with Your name. And, you know, I just confess to You that my faith sometimes seems so weak. And I don't even know if I mean, you know, I'm not put in that situation where I have to make that decision all the time. But my brothers and sisters here, they're put in situations all the time in their workplace where they have to put You first. And it's a struggle and it might be difficult, but I pray that You will give us the courage and the strength, God, and the resolution in our heart to obey You, to put You as our Lord in everything that we do.
Thank you.
Let's pray for our church. Let's just pray for one another, pray for ourselves. I guess similar to yesterday, but that Christ or Jesus would really be the Lord over everything in our lives. And especially in the workplace where, you know, not everybody is fearing the Lord. I just pray that we will have the strength, we'll have the Spirit of God to help us, to allow God to be, to give, or to ever for everything to be put under the Lordship of God. So let's just pray for each other. Let's pray for ourselves. One quick thing as we're praying, you know, Daniel and his three friends had so much favor in the presence of kings and all their officials, and I just felt like God wanted to say that to our church, you know, in the professional world, you know, that God will give you favor. You put God first and he'll give you this favor and put you before kings and queens to, you know, decision make and do all that stuff. You know, God's going to bless us in that. So that's part of our vision as a church, you know, so let's do that. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Just pray for the nation and the government and the churches. Our Beijing church plan. Let's pray for the Chong family, Jane and John Chong, and my parents as well. They're missionaries in Qingdao right now. And the Chichihar orphanage kids that Pastor Sam Kim is watching over. So let's just lift up China together. Let's pray for the staff of our church. Let's pray for Pastor Sam and his family, Lisa, Elise, Emma, and Hannah. Please lift him up. I think fasting has been tiring for him, so let's pray that he'll have strength, especially that he'll get a good day of rest today. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and Annie. Annie went to the hospital. I haven't heard any update, but Noelle poked her eye, I think, on Saturday night. And she went to bed, woke up Sunday morning, couldn't see, or it was really painful. So he took her to the hospital. So let's just keep them in prayer. PSM Kim and Annie and the kids, Noel, Micah, and Renee, the one that's coming soon. Myself and Kenny, Sophia, and Monica, if you can lift us up. Thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our elder board and missions committee. Elder board, you know, they're making decisions for the church. Mission committee make decisions on who we're going to support and what kind of mission trips we're going to go on and stuff like that. So let's just lift them up and pray that God would really give them wisdom. God would really minister to them, draw them closer to Himself. And let's just lift up our elder board and mission committee together. Let's pray for our SP move. Let's pray that God would really bless us. And ask Him to lead us, be with the steering committee. You know, let's pray that God would really speak to the steering committee, be with P. Sam. And let's also continue to pray for the vine. Let's pray that God would do a miracle here. And that's our temporary solution. So let's just pray and ask God to lead us in this time. Let's pray. Let's go to our member focus. Let's pray for Amy. This is Chris's wife. Let's pray for her dad's salvation. Let's pray for Chris, that God will continue to bless him abundantly. Let's pray for a baby this year. Let's pray for that in faith. And let's pray for the Beijing move, that God would help them settle down in Beijing and for all that. So let's read it and then pray for her together. Let's pray for Janice Lee. Let's pray for salvation, freedom, and healing for her family. This is on her heart all the time. So let's just pray and stand with her for that. Let's pray for deeper intimacy with the Father, greater revelation of who He is. For Christ to be the center of her and her relationship with Charles as they embark on a lifelong journey together. God, to give her more wisdom and use her as salt and light in the workplace. Let's pray for Janice together. Thank you. Next person, please. Let's pray for Jessie. She's a YWAM Jessie. Let's pray for her dad to be saved and protection for her brother-in-law, Jay, serving in Afghanistan right now with the Canadian military, and support for her sister, Dana. She's acting as a single working mother of two. So let's pray for Jessie and her family together. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that we can come before you this morning and just pray to you and pray for one another. And be with us, God, as we pray further and as we go into our workplace. I just pray that you will go with us. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your love and your blessing and your faithfulness, God. And Holy Spirit, I just pray for a strength, God, in our hearts, you know, to live for you today. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.